So I want to thank you all, and I want to thank just your obedience and your faithfulness, how we so in unity consecrated ourselves for 7 days, this first week of the year, we offer ourselves to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So the rest of this year, we are very confident that He will be on the driver's seat.
Amen.
Where we need to be.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. It's our GPS. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Trials are not a good thing for the way the Spirit goes. It's an amazing good opportunity in the things of the Spirit. Amen. There is nothing more dangerous than head knowledge of God. If you don't face challenges and you know that God's word is faithful, it's all knowledge. Amen?
Amen.
So we get promoted in the Spirit through trials. How does that look like? If Moses was not tested, he wouldn't have known that the oil of God upon his life can dethrone a whole principality, can break the powers of a whole stronghold on a nation, and release people from his darkness. If it's not for trials, Moses, all the things we read through from Genesis to Deuteronomy would not have been possible. If it's not for trial, Joseph would not have learned the power of forgiveness, the power of unconditional love, would not have learned that God has no limitation to fulfill the promises He's given to us, and would not have learned that Satan can never stop your destiny. Joseph life teaches us that. Joseph life teaches us through trials that what the devil always meant for evil, if you give it to God, He will turn it for His glory.
Amen.
And for you. It's not for trials. We don't know that fire cannot consume Hebrew children. Amen?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
It's not for trials. You will not know that lions cannot eat Daniel. If it's not for trials, all these things we're talking about, you will not know that these are things that are available. It's on God's heart to always bring breakthrough to us. Christianity is not knowledge. Christianity is an experiential life. It's a new life. Amen?
Amen.
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 So, the Lord did something, and you know when we say we go from faith to faith, from glory to glory, it can be one scripture. God gave you breakthrough understanding 10 years ago. But that one scripture, God can show you a different level the next year, another level. One scripture can never be exhausted because it's God. And each time you go deeper, God takes you deeper in Him, in just one scripture. Because God and His word are one. So this morning, I want to share briefly with us a key that God has given to us that never loses it. There is nothing, and there will never be anything that we do will receive anything but a blessing, breakthrough that we receive or God uses us to do, any experience that brings us glory, that blesses people, every experience of the faithfulness, the goodness of God is from the mercy of God. So, the whole creation, the whole world is the mercy. The mercy of God has been before time. Has been in the space of time God has created for man. And will always be without endless time. The reason being that there is only one throne, one major throne. And this throne is the throne of the living God, the Father of all creation, the endless God, the endless power of the invisible God. This throne has been before time. Amen? And this throne never expires. Because he is timeless. Amen?
Amen?
And this throne has a seat where the King, the Lawgiver, and the Judge sit. He wasn't created. There's never been time. Because he's been God. He sits as the Creator, as the King, Father of all. He sits as the Judge, the righteous Judge. He sits as the one who gives the word. Lawgiver. And that seat is called mercy. So God has never sat anywhere else, or the throne has never been established on anything but mercy. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So let's read a few scriptures and then we'll receive what the Lord wants to say to us, carry us into the rest of this year. So, let's open our Bibles to Psalms 102. Psalms 102. I'll read from verse 13. From verse 1 to 12, David, like if you read the rest of the Psalms, was going through unbelievable crisis. Was going through all kinds of things. In Psalms 102 was caused for Israel. Receive this revelation and it's always worth it. Verse 13 says, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. Thou shalt arise and have mercy, everybody say me. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon what?
Me.
Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Cleveland. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon America. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. For the time
to favor her.
Yes, Lord. Yes, the set time is now.
Amen.
The appointed time is now.
Yes, Lord.
That word favor can be interchanged with grace. Humanity's favor. Let's open to another scripture in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 talks about from verse 1, about the promises of God. And how God made promises to Israel, and many people never encountered the victory of that promise. They failed and they fell apart. But some made, because they did not miss that promise with faith. And God describes something in Hebrews 4 about calling us to enter into rest. For those who have entered into the rest of God have ceased from their human strength, their human effort. And then he continued to talk about how the word of God prevails from them. At the end of Hebrews chapter 4, describing all this, we read from verse 14, it says this, seeing then that we have a great high priest. Amen?
Amen.
We have a great high priest. That is passed into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. Verse 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, our problems, our situation, our crisis, our limitation. But was in all points tempted like we are today, yet without sin. Now, the main scripture I want you to see why he said all this. Verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly, confidently, assuredly. Unto the throne of grace, unto the throne of the living God, the throne of grace, that we may what? Obtain mercy, and find help in time of need. It doesn't matter what the need is. It can be as small and it can be as high. Say the mercies of the Lord is as far as the east is from the west and as the heavens is to the earth. And the mercies of the Lord are refreshed every morning. Father, I thank you, Holy Spirit, for understanding and revelation. Empower us to God by your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. There's a story that Jesus told about a king. A king that had a servant, and the servant was owing him a lot of money. Amen? Just for purpose of sharing, let's say the servant was owing him $1 million, and this servant, the rest of his life, cannot even afford to pay him $50,000. So it was an impossible debt. Impossible debt that he could never pay. That debt, since he can't pay it, puts him in jail until he's able to pay it. Amen? So while in jail, he cried out. He's in jail here. Please, I cannot pay. There is no way I can pay. Give me time. Have mercy on me. Please have mercy on me. Forgive this debt. Have mercy. Amen? The king, seated on the throne, looked at him and said, okay, I release you from this debt. You are free. So that debt was paid in full for his freedom. So he was free now. He's now free. Amen? Before that debt was paid, the condition of that debt is accusing him of being guilty, is holding him at ransom, is holding him in captivity, because he says, you are owing, if you can't pay, you have to go to jail until you pay. And that puts him in jail captivity because he can't pay. So there is a written accusation against him. So the moment that debt was paid, amen, the people that put him in jail are now, by every command, have to release him. And when he comes out of jail, I want to ask you a question. When he comes out of jail, the police people or the executors of the law, if they come to him and say, Mr. Paul, we have come to arrest you because you have to pay the king's debt. You are owing the king, you have to pay the king's debt. What do you think that meant that just came out of jail and told us? He's been paid for. What else did he say?
I'm free.
What else can he say?
No longer guilty.
What else can he say?
Cancel.
Huh?
Cancel.
There's cancer. Very good. What else can he say?
No bondage.
Breakthrough. Now, he can say so many things. Does he have the right to say it?
Yes.
Now, if he knows his right, and he has his right to say it, what do you think those people around him will do? Will they put him in jail? Will they go away? What do you think they will do? They will turn their back and go away. What do you think they will do? They will fight him. Okay? Okay? Anybody else?
Go make sure.
They'll go make sure that he knows what he's saying.
Right.
Okay. But if that man doesn't know he's right, they've come to arrest him. They've come to put him back in jail. They've come to tell him he's going to be dead. If he doesn't know he's right, what do you think he will do?
He'll
go back to jail. Okay? And then, what do you think he will do?
He will beg.
Huh?
He will beg.
He will agree with them. Okay? What else do you think he will do?
He could be begging for mercy.
No, if he doesn't know he's right.
He'll run away.
He will resist, he'll run away. This is the law. This is the government, this is the government that arrested him.
Right.
They'll put him back in jail. Amen. Second part. Before we come to this. Second part. The king forgave the debt, set him free. He has his job back. He has his identity back. Everything is now wonderful. This guy is now happy, I'm free, I'm out of jail. I don't owe $1 million anymore. I don't owe this debt, I'm free, I can do everything I want to do. And then, this is part two, one of the servants came and I'm working with him, owing him $10. Amen?
Amen.
And the person owing him $10 came and said, Mr. Paul, I have $10 to pay right now. Please, I must tell you, give me time until I get my paycheck. Give me time to raise up this money. I have so much going on with my children, and I don't have all this. I'll give me time. Mr. Paul took him, threw him in jail. Why? Because there's a legal paper, he's paying me $10. And if he can't pay, prosecuted him and threw him in jail. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So the king heard about it. You all know the story. And he heard about it that he forgave him $1 million. And now he took somebody owing him $10. And locked him up and let him. And the king took him back and said, you know what, you wicked servant. I did this for you and you can't even lift your finger to forgive me. Now he put him in maximum prison punishment. Mercy can never be granted. There is nothing you can ever do for God to earn His mercy. There is nothing you can ever be to prove and earn God's mercy. Not one man. Not any creation, not any can earn the mercy of God. God sits on the mercy seat and rules before time and after time from there. Because the mercy of God is the unconditional nature of God's love. Amen? It's so unconditional, so unmerited, the love of God, that God created everything that will ever be part of Him for eternity to come through us. To come to that stage. Amen? So, with time, God created and brought angels that He has created to His throne, and they are part of His throne. But God wanted the angels that will live with Him forever be tested. And they will be tested on one thing. The will of God. Amen? So God gave all the angels their will. And the same thing will be for every man. And they receive the mercy of God is the glory of God, which is the presence of God, which is the glory of heaven. And when it's time for angels to be tested before God's power is manifest, they were tested. And it was found out that there were angels that denied the Master. Led by the key angel, his name is Lucifer. Because he refused the mercy of God by trying to exalt every gift, everything God gave to him, he wanted to use it as through his own willpower, he wanted to use it as his access to God, as his own. And so when he took upon himself that his willpower is his own, is his authority, is his gift, is everything that he is, he lost the mercy of God. And the moment he denied the mercy of God, through not receiving, submitting to the mercy of God, through his will, he was separated from God forever. So, anything that does not understand the mercy of God, anything that tries to operate outside of the mercy of God, submit to the Lord, will create himself as God. It will soon return to reverse. So that's how Lucifer became the little G-O-D of darkness. The angels and the people separated from God. Now, when God now started with man and created man, but before he created man, Revelation 13 said there was a lamb that was slain before the foundations. God already made room to mercy for redemption. So when God created man, you will not understand what happened to Adam and Eve until I share this with you, and it will make sense for time. What happened to Adam and Eve is like this: how they lost the mercy of God, and they became the first manifestation of everything called flesh, rebellion, soul, everything against God, the embodiment of darkness. God promised Abraham a son, and this son was going to come through mercy, through grace, through the power of God. It can only come. Everything God has planned can only come through the power of God, through the strength of God, through everything. And God promised it because God has spoken it. Remember, everything from God flows out of his seed. Mercy. So now, Abraham was expecting this promise. And Abraham got to the point where, listen to the trials and the tests we go through, your life will never be the same in spiritual warfare if you pay attention. Abraham received his promise, and the test of this promise was it has to come through mercy, because grace can only come through the vessel of mercy, atmosphere of mercy. So Abraham got to a point where he now saw that there is no way I can humanly give birth to this promise. I cannot give birth to Isaac. I am old. My wife's womb is dead. Amen?
Amen.
So what Abraham was now dealing with was everything that I can do for God is not going to achieve the promise. Everything my strength can do, everything my righteousness can do, everything I've served God, whatever I can do, I have done it. And now Sarah and everything she has done has come to this end. I have come to this end. I can't do any more thing to cause this promise of God to come to pass. So he said, since I can't do it, it's not going to happen. Listen to our human strength. You will never receive power if you don't overcome the revelation of using your strength. Abraham had to come to the end of his power, but he felt the will of God, the things of God was happening with his help, with his strength, with his righteousness. So since he's expired everything and Sarah is over, he said, if this promise is going to happen, there must be another way that we can do it. So Sarah said, you know what? If our strength, our righteousness, our way to receive what God has promised us is expired this way, let us try a fresh, a younger, a more powerful human. So they brought Hagar. Young, vibrant, young girl. Amen?
Amen.
Human strength, human will, human fertility, human ability is so strong. So they said, okay, this must be the way we can manifest the promise of God. Guess what? They gave birth to what? To their willpower. To their self-will. Exactly what Lucifer did. Lucifer created a throne outside of God that was cursed. Abraham and Sarah created a throne called Ishmael that would contain Isaac. Isaac is a manifestation of mercy. Mercy is the only vessel that produces grace. And only by grace the things of God are here. Because they are impossible. And Sarah are examples of how we produce things that look like God or the plan of God, but really is a satanic duplicate. Because it's human. It has no mercy. It gives only to man and not to God. So, if you look at the mystery of every great man, every great woman that has ever released the will of God on earth, listen to all your story. God first has to kill their ability to make it produce in the physical and by your strength. That's why when God spoke to Moses, he was going to use it. Moses tried his strength. Why will God take him away for 40 years? To destroy his human capacity to say, I make this happen. Because every human capacity Moses has cannot even touch a glimpse of the deliverance of Israel. I don't know if you're following me.
Yes.
Joseph was given a dream of a great future. And how God will use him greatly. He was excited. He thought he has to go to the best school of that day. He has to go to the best training. He has to be this. He has to be all these things that most people have to be to maintain a career, successful career in this system and now. But God doesn't work that way. Everybody hear me. Everyone say, flesh and blood.
Flesh and blood.
And they are receive it. Flesh and blood. Listen carefully. You don't know it, I don't know it, I didn't know it. What I'm telling you now, the level to which God is living. Flesh and blood is so embedded in your heart. And everything that we pray or we do to serve God, if there is pride in it, because it's human, it's right. people went to pray. One of them is, he gives tithes, he does a lot of things. He has, you know, he does things that he's proud of being a Jew. Another one cannot even do any of these things because he's struggling with sin, struggling with a lot of things. Jesus said two of them came to pray. Listen to this guy. It might be obvious he's praying that way, but I want to tell you the truth. He says, before God, you know, I give my tithes, I help the poor, I do this, I do that, I do this, I do that. Look at that man on that corner. I think he's doing the same. But anyway, let me forget him. I'm asking you to do this for me because of what you think I'm doing for you. And then the other man says, God, he can't even lift his head. You don't have mercy on me. Jesus, God of heaven, said this. He said, those two will leave that place, and the one that will receive grace, receive answer in the time of his need, is the one that the Lord will respect to his righteousness, to what he has been doing to serve God. He says, God, if you don't do it, it will never happen. If you base it on what I can do or what I cannot do, I'm disqualified. The access to mercy and an electric. So, God used Abraham to teach us what mercy is. Mercy, every promise of God is totally unconditional, based on the fact that it can only be done by God through the blood of his Son. Amen?
Amen.
Now the scripture that I read to you, because this is a long topic, and we just want to summarize it, just for hit a point today before we go. The scripture I read to you is one of the scriptures that define David's life as a ruler in Israel and as a person who has needs and as a person who has personal struggles, personal needs, and then as a person God has put in throne over Israel. If you read the whole book of Psalms and study very well the life of David, one of the key things that David received above all generations was a revelation of the mercy of God. David, from Psalm 1 to the end, he so talked about the mercy of God. If you study Psalms, you say, why? Because he was a man who understood the throne of God and understand the way God works. David did not fight the bear, the lion, and all these things. If you listen carefully, David was operating from the place of the God of God's mercy. So, really quick, let me demonstrate very quickly. There's a long topic, and then we start rounding up. The mercy of God, how to access it, how to receive it, especially in time of need this year. Williams, can you help me? I want to come over here. Amen. Okay, Mr. Stephen, please come quickly. Amen. Thank you. Williams, you can stand here, Stephen can stand here. Amen?
Amen?
Okay. This is Stephen. This is Williams. Amen?
Amen.
You remember the story I talked about, the debtors, the man owing debt and all that stuff? Forgiveness. Stephen, Let's say Stephen is owing. Is that, remember that story of owing? That $1 million. Now, because of $1 million, there is no way Stephen can come out of that situation. So the law, the persecutors, everything is now against him for $1 million. So none of the because he's owing, there are so many things now Stephen has to suffer as a result of the consequences of his death. So it's not just being in jail, now his mind, his emotions, sickness, disease, stress, all these various things that we deal with as humans are now beginning to prevail because of this debt. This one that has opened the door for none of this life. Amen? Amen. Stephen is separated from life, separated from people, separated from this. You know, not Stephen, let's call him James. Amen? James is separated from everything. Amen? Disconnected from life, physically and spiritually. Now, this is what Jesus did. Amen? This is what God did. But Jesus had to come in person to fulfill it. Amen? Amen. Jesus is here. Huh? With the Father. And the decision was made to show mercy, to demonstrate mercy to the whole world, to mankind. Because from the fall of man, Satan has put every living man in that condition. No man can access God. No man can find God. No man, we're all in jail, destined to be there forever. So Jesus having the discourse, and he says, he's going to come, the Lamb, to fulfill, to pay that debt, and to take care of him. So Jesus left heaven and came to us. Amen?
Amen.
Let me show you what he did with his blood. Stephen is accused. Stephen is condemned. Stephen is in jail. James has all these things labeled, bound, this, sick, lost, that. All these things are results of the death. Jesus is sinless, nature, free, full of riches, full of glory, full of power, full of everything, came down, Son of God. And he came here and asked Stephen to come and take his place. So, Jesus paid the fee, guys. Listen to this. He paid the fee. What you can never pay. What you can never earn. Amen?
Amen.
And he brought us here. Yes. Now, Jesus not only paid his price, with his blood, he made an announcement in this jail before Satan. Every demonic angel, every principality, every power, the King of Glory made an announcement after he came and said, you see, this blood has paid in full. James, see, this blood has taken away every labor, every bondage, every sin, everything that came with that sin. This blood has come up. Now, I want to tell you something. You see, this blood is not just paid, but from now on, this is my blood. And now, I'm going to have brothers and sisters with my blood. they will be adopted as my blood. Meaning, they will be joined heirs with me, they will rule with me, they are the sons of God. They are not only paid, now they are like me. The sons of God. Now, before I leave this place where this darkness is jail where you are, the two captivity, all of them, he put a banner and say, see this blood? Anywhere you see this blood, you can't touch it. Anywhere you see this blood, is victory, is restoration, is history. And two, anywhere you see this blood, the whole army of hell will execute every privilege this blood has given.
Amen.
Because it's the banner of the kingdom of God, for the redeemed. The union, every demon and Satan's illness. If you disobey, you'll be bound, you'll be banished, you'll be bound. There is severe consequence for crossing that. That is the word of God. And Jesus finished. After taking captivity captive, Jesus came out. And Jesus came back here. To heaven. The scripture I read to you said, he now sits on the right hand of the Father as our high priest, making intercession. What is intercession? He's here in the throne. Now, James is born again. Amen?
Amen.
Listen carefully. James is born again. So James is officially recognized in the spirit in this position. But now James is still human. He's living here in the world. But by virtue of citizenship, by virtue of the Spirit, James sits around. The high priest is here, Jesus is here. So now I want to ask you a question. James is living in the world. God has conquered hell and death there, everything. The demons know that. But James now is in the world. The world is a passage to hell or to heaven. Amen? So James is here. Amen? So now, James is born again. In his spirit, that's his position. That's his sonship. That's what he's born in his mind. Does James know that? Does James understand that? Because he's in his spirit. So the Bible says, it's only by faith James can operate in this world. Because in the physical, he's here. And his mind only sees. So when James is going through a trial, listen to this. Let's begin with like death, money, or sickness, or anything. The devil comes. Who wants to act as the devil? Nobody? That's a good message. I need somebody to come and help us here. Amen? Okay, I'll ask the devil here. So, I go to James. He's struggling with finances. I say, James, that money you have belongs to me. And he begins to contend for his finances. Now James doesn't know what's going on. He's working hard, he's doing a lot of things, but he's not really making ends meet. He doesn't have money. James is probably sick, he's going through a lot of things. But James is in the spirit. But in the physical, he is still living in the realm of God, Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen?
So James comes to church, he hears all these things, and James comes to prayer. Okay? The enemies are accusing him. James comes to prayer. And he begins to pray. And James, like the example I gave, begins to pray and begins to talk about, I pay tithes, I do this, I do this. Go away from me. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus, and he's praying. Of course, he's doing his best to pray, and the finances is struggling, sickness is struggling, fear is there, a lot of things are there. But James is a Christian, and he's going through this every year. This is what the Lord showed to me. James is confronting the enemy. James is seeking blessings, fighting, is working hard. But what the Lord showed to me about mercy is, he said, come to the throne of grace. The throne of God's power, everything God has, come to that throne. He didn't say for you to do what, he said first to obtain mercy. My brothers and sisters, what is mercy? Mercy is everything that God did for you here free of charge. He died, he paid the price, he defeated Satan, he did everything. He did it. You cannot earn what he did here. So, in spiritual warfare, assessing the throne of God, the first thing he says we should do, give a picture. In the Old Testament, the high priest cannot come to God's presence. He comes first with the blood on the mercy seat. Mm-hmm. What blood? The blood of bulls and goats that substituted for what would have happened to them. The goat has died, the bull has died, to say that what that debt has been paid for by death, the sickness, everything has been paid for by an animal that already died. You understand? So now he takes that blood and comes to the mercy seat and say, we are free. Forgive us. We are released. And God receives and says, okay, good. The next year, everything God has promised you, you receive it. Not because they earn it, but because an animal died for it. And the blood of that animal now releases thank you. So, what Jesus did here, his blood has paid fully for everything that man fell from the garden. Every accusation of Satan, Revelation 11 says, we overcome by the blood. Everything has been fully paid by the blood, not only that, has been repurchased to the original position. So, God is saying, when we are going through crisis, we are going through any situation, the first thing we should do is to acknowledge who has done it for us. We don't come to the throne of God just to say, I can do this, I can do this, I can do that, you know, because I'm a Christian, because of, no. He says, first of all, come and understand that the victory has been won. The need has already been met. The account is full. Heaven is made of provision, but the key is not you. It's somebody else that has done it. So when you come to that truth, you come to say, God, have mercy upon me. Mercy is not a pity prayer. You are accessing your divine inheritance by the blood. And then God says, if you come through the avenue of mercy, it can be, then God will now release action to be taken on behalf of that situation. The action can come in the form of, okay, you can sit down. Thank you so much. Let me take, if you have the picture, let me quickly begin to summarize solution. I'll share two solutions for today. And we're going to go deeper into this mercy. Because, my brothers and sisters, God has given us victory.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Two solutions. One is in prayer, when you come in prayer, and the other one is worship. I never understood very well why. I remember reading that story in Luke 18, where the widow woman was praying. They said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Many of you know that. Okay. Do you know what Jesus said about that parable? He says there was a widow that had a problem, a need, and the widow was asking an unjust judge for justice. Amen? And the judge is a wicked judge. Nothing can change his mind. Listen to this. Jesus says, this woman was coming to the judge, continuously saying, avenge me, give me justice, give me justice, give me justice. And the judge did not give the wrong time. But later it says the judge's mind shifted. And Jesus made this comment. He said, he says, how much more God, if you will just be here, if you bear with him, long suffering the why, but he's looking for faith. Let me explain, this is in prayer now. So what is happening is, this woman, before she went to that judge, before she ever went to that prayer, she knew her rights. She knew that whatever she is going to ask for was justified. It was a promise. Amen?
Amen.
And that's why she could not deviate from it until justice was given. Jesus was saying that's in the physical. When you know your right, you never give up, you will always win your case. Jesus says, how much more us in prayer? So what is prayer? Coming to the throne of grace, you have something. This is God's throne. This is us having a name. It's real. The Lord is saying, before you go to prayer, before you come to the throne of God, look at the mercy of God. What is the mercy of God? First of all, understand, has Jesus met this need? Where is the promise that Jesus met? The promise of what? Now, if Jesus has met this need, and Jesus paid for it, he died for it, he's finished, and this is the promise, God said, like the just one, if you bring that promise to the throne, by reason of the blood, by reason of what Jesus has done, Jesus is there, the Holy Spirit is with you, God is there, and you bring that thing before the throne of grace. What is the faith? He says, you're coming saying, God, look at this situation, look at what you've done on the cross, and now the enemy is taking it from me. The enemy is accusing me. The enemy is stealing it from me. Look at, I don't have this. I don't have that. My body, my this. The Lord is saying, through that power, when you come to that throne of grace like that, knowing what you've come, and come based on your right, he says, I will avenge you speedily. If you're looking for me. Basically, that means you will never lose that battle because you are coming to God based on what is already being done on your behalf. You are coming to God based on what Jesus has already done. So if it's already done, God is testing you to see if you believe it. And as you keep asking God, he's done it, and you're praying or seeking for a day or 2 days or a week or a month or a year, you're crying and you're waiting and you're praying, God says, at the set time, I will show you, I will arise, and favor and mercy will be obvious to you. I will show mercy to them, I will show mercy to you. What does that mean? God says, I will release grace. Either the angels of God will come and destroy the darkness, destroy the enemies. That provision will count speedily to you. If you do not lose the grounds of your life. Amen?
Amen.
True perseverance. The second principle for receiving the partner's worship, which is the highest form. I never knew it. Anytime you have a problem, you have a need, the fastest way to get answers to that need is worship. But the reason why it's the slowest way is when you are going through the worst trial of your life, that's the last time for you to think about worship. Amen?
Amen.
I don't know if you get what I'm saying. When you are going through the greatest trial of your life, like Paul were, like Joseph and all these people were, the last thing you want to do is to worship, because it does not make sense to the flesh. Amen?
Amen.
But worship is not by flesh, it's by faith. So whenever you come to worship, this is what worship does. Worship immediately accesses the mercy of God. Remember, the throne of God is mercy. Once you begin to worship, that's why David never lost battles except if it wasn't led by God. That's why David was who he was. He used worship as his access to the heart, to the throne of God. So you come to God, you worship, you access the mercy. Every time you worship, you're saying, I need to your mercy. I need to your throne. I have nothing to plead. I have nothing to give. There's nothing in me but to worship, to honor, to. When you do that, things begin to shift. Everything that Christ has done, Jesus begins to intercede and implement, and things begin to change. The Holy Spirit is here to enforce the things of our hearts. And this year, we are beginning with understanding how to access breakthroughs by accessing the mercy of God. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand up together. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I share this with you because I went through a very difficult time. I went through a battle. And in the midst of fighting this battle, the Lord opened my eyes and says, if you want to fight it, you can fight it. But if you want this battle for heaven, I'm not sure I've always said Moses, I just, or I could say, the battle is the Lord's.
Yes.
You all know the scripture we talk about. How is the battle with the Lord? You don't know how to next it belongs. So that's what the Lord showed me this day. I was fighting something, and the Lord says, you're fighting something with God. Why not access the battle? So I did what he said to worship, and my eyes opened in the spirit, and showed me the battle was not. Because I needed to be myself. So that's why I said a while ago, my brothers and sisters, no man, anything good, anything wonderful, anything gracious that is everlasting and eternal that comes from me or you, it's not from you. It's from God. It's from the grace of God. This flesh is not your God. This flesh will betray you instantly if it's under pressure. This flesh will hate you today and love you tomorrow. This flesh is hot and cold. This flesh is human. Everything that comes from the Spirit and from God comes from us. Everything. So, let no man take glory. Give no man glory, but give God glory. Amen?
Amen.
Because we honor the Lord, we praise the Lord. But truly, everything is in the Lord's in us to give and to do. Once you start discovering that your strength is not in King, mercy will begin to release you. Amen?
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. I don't know, this week I just come and pray. Let's just thank God for His mercy. Wherever you are, just begin to thank God for His mercy and His grace. Hallelujah. They are new every morning. New every moment, great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Does there was no Lord
let us
see His
mercies never
of God is because you have received the mercy of God. The mercy of God is always available because He's been already doing unconditionally 2,000 years. But we receive this as we are born again. But about the mercy is the salvation to many of us. There are people in the streets right now, they don't know that mercy is available. Like we have received. We will be regular people who receive mercy. And now, the people of God. All the people in the world, mercy has been given. Forgiveness has been granted. But they have no mercy. So they are still about it. So now, if you're in this room and in this place, there are battles you're fighting, there are expectations you've been having. But today, God is saying, it's already in care. But you, by faith, by faith, you have to receive it. And when you receive it and believe it, and begin to implement it, you will find out that it will be. So, Father, this year 2020, by your Spirit, O God, you will cause the finished work of the cross to become manifest in our lives from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from grace to grace. Father, every trial of every need, every situation, we want to experience that which you've already done. Release in our lives. Help us to experience the power of your mercy. I speak to anyone in this room today that is battling condemnation. My brother, my sister, the Lord, all He wants from you is to say, forgive me. Once you ask God, forgive me, and you've done it before you came, receive mercy. Receive forgiveness by the blood of the Lamb. Any person that will come to accuse you or confront you, tell them the blood has washed.
The blood has cleansed. The blood has finished. You cannot accuse me. Speak to the blood. You cannot lie to me. Speak to the blood. Father, let the voice of the blood be our portion, be our victory, be our God, that which we stand on. May the accuser, may the enemy not come to us and keep us in bondage, keep us in captivity, keep us believing every lie, because our flesh is going to try it. Father, today by the blood, we stand on your promise, on your finished work, and we say to every mountain, everything around us, it is finished. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the sick say, I have been made whole. In the name of Jesus, by faith, stand upon the finish and persevere. And this year, you will have testimonies upon testimonies, because it's finished.
Amen.
We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. Jesus name.